Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to put this off for another week and make up excuses and procrastinate any more than I have, because I have been wanting to record a podcast, and it seems like every single time I want to record it, either something else happens and I want to wait and, you know, get more feedback or get a bigger vision of what's going on, or like I'm getting busy with work and la, 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 all that shit. You don't care. But my point is, I have time and this tea needs to be spilled, because my God, is it messy out in these streets? Why? For why? Why? It is, I was about to say Monday, it's not Monday, it's Tuesday. The Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend, which is the most Monday of all Tuesdays, like, ever. I guess, no, that would be, like, Labor Day weekend. Sorry, I'm babbling. But, and honestly, I'm babbling because I'm so fucking tired of talking about this shit. Like, I'm so fucking tired of, like, dealing with how traumatic it is to experience Black death on a public forum. And when I think about this shit and I think about our forebears and things that we grew up reading about in terms of the Civil Rights era, I don't even know. That's just why, you know, it's so important that we go back to listening to elders who've experienced those times, because I feel like that's the only way we can really push forward and gain some sense of, I don't even know. I don't have a word of what sense of what we're supposed to do. Some sense of fucking meaning, because it's really easy to not have any meaning when these things happen again and again and again and again for literally no reason. And it's very obvious what the point is. The point is to harass us. The point is to demean us. The point is to belittle us. The point is to make us feel less than. The point is to remind us what this shit being this country is built on. The point is for the truth to resound, and here it is. You know what I mean? Like, when I feel like when people feel this immense amount of depression, it's because there's just this resounding amount of truth that is really, really difficult for us to deal with, because I mean, that's the fact of the matter. Ignorance is bliss. It's really, really easy to dig your head in the sand, or it's easier. Which is why I'm really starting this podcast, because there are so many complex conversations I would like to add to. There are so many, and I apologize if there's any noise or anything outside, because I'm sitting outside and I'm recording, and motherfuckers want to start hammering and shit when I'm outside recording, but it's okay. Devil stays busy. It's okay. Anyway, you know, it's like, it's tiring, man. It's tiring. And it's this emotion and this overwhelming fucking sadness and disgust and rage and this range of emotions that honestly comes over me. And I don't always be having time for that shit. Let's be real, you know, which, you know, brings me back to my original point before motherfuckers started hammering, which is that I want to bring my voice to complex situations because we don't always have the time to dig into something when these little explosions happen and everybody's like, ah, and kind of screaming, yelling and talking and raging and ranting and whatever. But these are moments that I feel are heavily, they heavily require reflection and more unpacking, which is my point as to, well, I'm making actually a couple points. One point is, if you ever see Black people who don't ever talk about issues of police brutality or have difficult conversations or blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's a myriad of reasons as to why that person might do it. But sometimes people just don't want to because they're fucking tired and they already know that you're going to disappoint them. And by you, I mean people who are non-Black. Because our pain and our struggle is like a really a fucking joke to a lot of you. A lot of you. A lot. A lot. You think it's a fucking game. And, you know, then when people are like, you know, I'm only for Black people or I'm only showing up for Black causes, people want to get upset, but we don't owe anyone anything. We don't owe anybody anything. You owe us everything. And people hate for us to say that. And it's, you know, supposedly it encourages a narrative that, you know, we feel that we're owed. Whatever. I really don't give a fuck. We are owed. We are owed. From our culture to our actual natural resources of our continent to our physical bodies. Like, people try to steal so much from us. Like, our actual physical lives. Like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck what you think. You can't possibly think. You can't. Not this Black person. Not this Black person. And I'm sure there are many other Black people. I know there are many other Black people that feel exactly the way that I do. And I'm sure there's a lot of non-Black people who feel the exact same way and agree that I have legs to stand on. But I don't need anyone to validate me, you know? I don't need anyone to validate my humanity. I don't need that. No Black person needs that. What we need is the consistent trauma of white supremacy and systemic racism to come to a fucking close. That's what we need. That's what we actually need, like, now. Because it is so terrifying. It is so terrifying to imagine children growing up in this world. I just can't. I will never get over that. And I don't know how other women are doing it, like raising kids. And if you're white and you're raising kids, if I were you, I would want nothing more than to battle against things like this, because what kind of world are you bringing your child in? What kind of mess did you bring your child in? You know, and will you be able to confidently say, should your child ask you about these things? Because a lot of times I feel like some people want to protect their children, but I'm confused as to what they're protecting them from. Because in this world, I feel like everything is just like hidden, you know, like nothing is hidden from view. Nothing. Is this motherfucker serious? If you guys can hear this, I'm so sorry. And I'm not re-editing it either, so enjoy. Enjoy the free entertainment. See, like, then I lose my train of thought. It's the worst. But yeah. It's, these things are hard, and no Black person is 100% the same on these issues. We all carry trauma. we all are going to react differently. Sometimes it's a majority that feel the same. I mean, nobody's going to feel this, you know, 100% same about anything. Truth is multifaceted. That's the fact. Truth is multifaceted. And I mean, and if you need any more proof of that, look at how much fake news is actually believed. Because we live in a world that this, you know, this particular truth has always been true, is that all you really need is enough people to support your claim, right? And then it becomes more and more true, more and more real. But the more time and effort and energy you put into any thought, you can make it real to some extent. At the very least, to yourself. Which matters, even in any small way. You know, which is my point, is like, you know, people can take anything and just kind of run with it. Which I guess is a good segue to, I'm definitely gonna circle back on, you know, this recent string of like police brutality, but that shit's super fucking heavy, bitch. So let's just read some hoes and circle on back. So let's talk about Lana Del fucking Rey and this goofy shit that happened in this past week. Girl. Okay, so for, and like, don't DM me, don't comment. Oh my god, but Lana Del Rey has like the single. Like, bitch, I've been listening to Lana Del Rey for a minute. I even remember her whack ass Lizzy Grant days when she had like one single that was on like VH1 something. I don't even remember, one of the VH1s, one of the mugs. And I was like, who the fuck is this girl? And then when she repackaged herself as Lana Del Rey, I was like, I feel like she looks familiar. And it turned out to be the same person. But Lana Del Rey, I used to fuck with Born to Die, which is like, I guess, her breakout album. I don't know if she made any mixtapes or anything like that before. I'm not a Lana Del Rey stan. I just was like really for her. Like, I feel like 2012 to 2014, you know, that was my bitch. And I love Born to Die. I forget the other EP that she did that had, like, some really good remixes on it. Like, American something? I don't fucking know. She, like, always is, like, talking about sugar daddies and, like, doing coke and, like, being skinny and, like, I don't know, fucking white girl problems. And it's like a little sad girl. She gets a little drawl, you know, and you get in your feelings for a minute and then you move the fuck on. Bitch, I don't take her seriously. Like her coming out with poetry, like, I think it's hilarious that Benny Drama, who is an influencer and comedian, if you don't know who Benny Drama is, and he does skits on like Kim Kardashian and just like pop stars, but he always like will tease Lana Del Rey about her quote unquote deep lyrics, and it's like skits of him like staring out of a window and talking really slowly, and it's hilarious because that's all that bitch does. And so homegirl decided to write a little letter, you know, in a little typewriter typeface or whatever, to post on Instagram about Nicki and Cardi and Beyonce, and I think she mentioned Camila Coelho and like Ariana Grande and who else, oh, and Doja Cat, which is we gotta talk about that silly bitch too. Like, everybody, like, what a fucking, May has been messy, why though? Good lord, where is you savages? Ugh. Anyway, yeah, Lana Del Rey was naming all them bitches, girl, and in this little letter, and she was basically complaining about, I don't know, she was in her feelings about nobody liking her music or whatever. She was mad. Obviously, I'm being super dramatic. You can go and read the letter for yourself, but when I read it, this is what I heard as I was reading it, which was that I'm in my feelings and I'm salty because I've had some difficulties in the music industry, like every fucking woman that has ever been in the music industry. And, you know, now that these brown bitches and wannabe brown bitches and brown adjacent bitches and black adjacent bitches are getting money and getting and charting and shit, I feel like I should get some credit too. Not necessarily because I did anything for them, but, like, I feel like I should get some credit. That's what I heard when I read whatever the fuck it was that she said she wrote and posted the other day. And I wasn't trying to hear that because, bitch, who the fuck are you? And Beyonce said, bitch, huh? Beyonce is like, who? Huh? What happened? Because I'm sitting here minding my black ass business and yet again, somebody has my name in their mouth. For what? For why? Why? You know? We don't need that. Nobody asked for this. You should have saved that, kept that in your draft. You know? Do a new moon ritual. Write that shit out and burn it. Because nobody needed it. Nobody needed it. No one asked for it. Nobody wanted it. So it's just, you know, again, white womening, Karening, and just weirdly being mad that we're having success and creating a non-issue in order to recenter themselves and get clout. It's just another case of, like, wow, you really need us. Like, you need us. You need us because, girl, you know goddamn well that little poetry book wasn't flying off the shelves on its own. Let's be real. You know you weren't selling no copies off them weak-ass rhymes. You weren't. And I get it. I am a marketer as well as in addition to the variety of things that I am. I am a marketer. I'm a hustler. I am a money getter like you. And I just feel like as a creative, you could have been a little bit more creative. Just the thought. But I mean, you're just working off the blueprint that your forebears gave you. Because this is, like, just what, like, white women do. And I'm saying white women because it's white women. I'm not going to say white people. I'm not going to skirt the issue and say white men. Like it's, you know, only white men that do this. White women have a very specific and potent and effective way of expediting and expressing their racism and using their femininity to, like, weaponizing their femininity to get what the fuck they want. And Lana Del Rey did that. It was like so textbook. It was hilarious. The only thing that would have made it, like, just more white was for her to, like, call the police on Doja Cat, Beyonce, Nicki, and all of them. Just for existing. That would have been the cherry. Because it's the same shit. And I mean, we can't allow the lives of these people that have been, you know, really affected, from Emmett Till to men and women and children who came before Emmett Till, who have died that we don't even know what their names are. We cannot allow their spirits and their souls to just, their lives to just become obsolete we have to use these opportunities to really discuss and unpack and understand and learn and expose, because we don't know who's listening to this information and gaining a lot from it. We don't know who is changing because of it. And as much as these horrible things happen in the world, we have to keep fucking doing this shit, because the people who came before us, like, I can only imagine. I can't imagine what the fuck it would feel like growing up in, like, the 1950s. I really, when I going through this shit, I can't imagine it, because I feel like that it would really be the time where I wouldn't know where to look to escape, because of also just the way, you know, I know things were. I grew up, I was lucky to experience life, you know, pre-internet, like literally right before the internet blew up. And after, so I can tell you how different it is in terms of just reaching people, talking, communicating, sharing information. And if you are somebody who's really young and you're listening to this and you can't even, like, imagine not being able to just DM somebody really easily, or being able to talk to, like, you know, your best friend that you met 2 summers ago, like, without a motherfucking letter, girl. Like, homie, you gotta send a whole letter. You gotta send a fax. You gotta send a motherfucking, and even emails back in the day was, like, if a motherfucker had an email account, like, maybe, like, it was just different. It was different, and it took longer for people to find out information. And the way that, you know, we see white people actively deny what is in front of them. Like, can you only imagine what it was like in the 50s, 60s, shit, the turn of the century, 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, before that, when black people talked about their mistreatments and people made it seem like they were crazy or focused, you know, on the wrong things. Or, you know, whatever it is, bullshit you try to tell us to make us believe that we're making up this shit in our head, even though there's bodies everywhere, littered on the ground. Yeah, like, this Lana Del Rey thing is, like, has opened up the gates, I feel like, to so much, because now we've found out that Doja Cat is a motherfucking mess and is a messy bitch. See, okay, now, again, this is someone who I've been listening to for a while. I found Doja Cat on SoundCloud years ago. Again, on some, like, 2014, 2015 shit. And it was cute. She's cute. You know, I mean, she, not cute, like, her face, because I actually think she's, like, weird looking. But that's another conversation. Like, she's just like, she's like, I like her sense of humor, or I did, so that's why I messed with her. And I liked her music, because her music is good, or was. I don't know about it now. I'm feeling a little different about it now, but I didn't know, like, I didn't know she was South. This is how much I, like, didn't give a fuck. Like, I was just here for the music, girl. Like, I wasn't here for her whole lifestyle, because I didn't stan her. I didn't think that she was somebody that, like, I really needed to know more about. But this is what happens when you let motherfuckers get close to you. They got to see all of you. All of you. And I guess this whole Lana Del Rey thing opened up the gates for people to just expose how trash she is. In my previous episode, I was talking about Kenya Barris is black as fuck, and I made a comment about blackness. I don't remember what I exactly said, sorry. But I made a comment about blackness and discussing the one drop rule and biracial people, and I stick to that. And this is, I'm gonna keep circling back to it, because this is a perfect example of why the one drop rule is not a fucking thing anymore. It's not a thing. it's not a thing, and it hasn't been for a really long time, because we now live in an age where we can discuss biraciality to a much deeper, a more complex degree, because being multiracial, being biracial deserves that conversation. It deserves that nuance, you know? But I don't think it deserves the blanket term as Black. No, it does not, because that opens the door to a lot of problematic bullshit that's already happening, which is, boom, look at Doja Cat now. Just like when, you know what, I was about to totally descend into another argument, but I'm gonna stick to my path. But this is basically her being able to claim Blackness whenever the fuck she feels like it, because of the fact that she's Black adjacent. You know, like, motherfuckers are like, oh, she's black. Is she though? Because I can't take my shit off. I can't turn it down. I can't do, you know, just straighten my hair and then that's it. I'm a question mark. So once you have that option, you know what I mean? How many biracial people take that option? How many biracial people choose to live life a little easier, make white people a little bit more comfortable? A lot. I'm guessing. I'm going to take a guess and say a lot of people. So, oh, okay. Like, when you feel like being fucking Black and you're going to be, you want people to be, you know, 10 toes down, motherfucking collard greens and cornbread for you, then it's you Black. But when you're shucking and jiving for like neo-Nazis, which is like, holy shit, wow, like, girl, see therapy, homie, then it's a thing. And this whole Doja Cat thing, especially over the weekend, because I saw Black people just going off. And what I really found telling was that a very popular comment was, oh, I knew she was going to be on that wave. I could tell, like, she was that type of bitch, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Oh, she's that mixed bitch, blah, 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 blah. Which is really interesting, because that denotes that this quote-unquote, this caricature of a person, this quote-unquote mixed girl, is an identity that Black people are aware of. So we have to talk about that. We have to talk about, who is this person that infiltrates the Black community when it's necessary or needed for them? And then we have to also discuss the fact that this is just another weight on our overall experience, because yet again, we have someone else who is using the Black culture. Because you can be Black and exploit the Black culture. Of course you can. You can be anything and exploit anything. So you can absolutely be Black and exploit your own culture. It happens all the time. So to have somebody who's of mixed race or biracial exploit their Blackness, I feel like that's really the purposeful, that's really the meaning behind her supposed cancellation right now. I don't know how long she's gonna stay canceled, because I know how, you know, I know how y'all do. And which is a beautiful segue to the Azalea Banks situation. Like, y'all, I have a whole list of, like, fuckery that I need to talk about. And, like, it's just messiest of mays, I guess, is the name of this episode, since we're almost at the end. And I guarantee you, by the 31st, some goofy shit is gonna happen. So I'll probably have to make a part two. But I rebuke that statement. I don't want to manifest it. But you hoes are the way that you are. And it is the messiest season of the year, Gemini season. So I don't put it past you. But anyway, back to the messiest of messy Geminis, or at least one of the top five, maybe top 10, because there's a lot of you motherfuckers. But Azalea Banks has crept on out of her motherfucking cave.
to let you bitches have it. And it's perfectly timed. It is Gemini season. Everybody's up and, you know, everybody's on edge. And that's when Azalea loves to come out. She loves to come out when it's like either when motherfuckers is too happy. If you too happy, Azalea definitely coming out. If motherfuckers is kind of chaotic and she feel like just like throwing another wrench in the whole shit and like fucking everybody up, Azalea definitely coming out. So homegirl is here. She here. And she has decided to tell everybody about just tasty morsels from Adrien Grenier being gay and what it's like to suck gay dick. Messy. To going off about Nikki and talking about how Nikki is 100% like garbage because she didn't fucking air out Doja Cat when she heard about that shit, yet she had Cardi in her mouth that whole time, which is a valid point, because we all know Nikki was jealous. And yes, I am Barty gang. Yes, I am a Cardi B fan. So, and then before I was a Cardi B fan, I was just somebody who genuinely disliked Nikki and didn't see a need for her and found her to be extremely problematic, and I still think that is true. Not saying that she has talent. I just don't think that she has the swag that she thinks she has, and she loves to stop the bag for other women, which I think is trash. And she's not ready to work for it and sweat and bleed for it the way that Cardi is. And I respect that work ethic of Cardi's, you know. I mean, she's Dominican and Trini. Like, that's the culture. Those motherfuckers. Dominican women and Trinidadian women are the hardest working women I've ever met in my entire fucking life. Like, and to be both of those, from both of those cultures, it's like, I would expect nothing less than for her to be 100 toes down to get what the fuck she thinks is hers. And obviously she's done that, you know. She 2 years, she didn't stop even with a baby, okay? But anyway, I just went on a whole fucking tangent about Cardi. I love you, girl. I love you. I know you're gonna hear this one day. Hey girl, bitch, I love you. Okay. Anyway. Back to Nichols and these other motherfucking fools. And Azalea and them. So yeah, Azalea was like, girl, you should have hopped up on Queen Radio and talked that shit. But as usual, you know where to be found when we need you. I agree with that. I agree with that statement. She was talking about Dave Chappelle having some good dick. Listen, girl, hold up now. I don't know about all that one. I do believe this story because it is just too ridiculous not to. And let me tell you something. Azalea, I mean, she knows she's crazy. She knows she's wild. So bitches like that tend to have receipts. And if they don't have receipts, they just will have... No, they're gonna have receipts, because even if they have like some weird like memory like of like the altercation, somebody will be like, yo, she's telling the truth, because how the fuck does she know that? Like, you know, like her, you know, like some shit that like her wife could, his wife can confirm. Sorry, now people are sawing and shit. It's okay. It's all right. So yeah. Azalea is out here ready to destroy lives and marriages for fun. She has braces, which I felt was needed a while ago, but I feel like she's like wearing them decoratively, which is weirdly like kind of a look. Like, Azalea, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like, okay, I know I'm like a little all over the place. Please stick with me. Because I didn't explain how the fuck her whole rant and the whole drama started. Because everybody was like, oh, she's going on. I'm going to tell you what started the whole thing. She posted
She posted a story, and the story was a tweet from Ebro. Yo, I know motherfuckers are trying me, because every time I start talking about like important shit, motherfucking saws and hammers and shit start going off. Fuck these people. Yeah, so she posted a tweet about Ebro. And Ebro is a DJ here in New York. He is a member of The Breakfast Club, which is a very popular morning show with Charlamagne and Angela Yee. And yeah, and him on 105.1, which is like a hip hop urban station that's popular here in New York City. So yeah, and then he got his own shit on Beats. So he posted a thing on Twitter and was like, oh, I don't feel like we should cancel Doja Cat because we need to teach her about her culture. And Azalea was all over that ass. She was like, oh, she was like, I think that is funny. She was basically like, you motherfuckers love to pick and choose. And she was like, oh, you light-skinned motherfuckers love to pick and choose. That's really what she said. She said, like, what she really said. Because I haven't said it, because I know people are going to get it. I feel like unless you're black, and even black people didn't really pick it up. But unless you're black, you're not going to get it, the joke. But the shit was, like, really funny to me. But she was like, you Jiffy Pop cornbread motherfucker. And what that is in reference to is if your mama, like my mama, when she makes cornbread, she buys the Jiffy cornbread, and the Jiffy cornbread, the box is like blue, white, and the cornbread is mad yellow. That's what she was talking about. That's what she was comparing Ebro to, and that shit was just comical to me. Like, but that's like really like a black joke, so I don't suggest, if you're not black, I wouldn't suggest fucking slinging that shit around, because you definitely deserve to be smacked. Yeah, so she came out and was on that shit, and I mean, it was 100% true, because Azalea has really experienced like some bullshit, and I know that it's hard to like be on her team, but the rapid rate at which people try to cancel her or just belittle her or negate like her existence is crazy to me, because like she's fucking nuts, and I definitely know, I just like, she makes it so hard to like just, like I said, to be on her side. But that bitch is a performer. I've seen her live, I've been to her concerts. Her music is fucking fire, like for real, like top to fucking bottom, like that shit is fucking ill, it fucking bumps, definitely attracts the gays more than anything, the gays and the girls, you know, I feel like that's like her target market 100%, but like those are the people who matter, and those shows be fucking lit, and just such a good time. So, you know what I mean? I'm here for the music, bitch. But you're a messy, and you love to see mess, which is kind of entertaining until it's not. And it's just sad to me to see so many people shit on her, and so many black men like shitting on her. But again, I feel like these instances and occurrences are great opportunities to talk about deeper subjects, because, you know, if there's a black man who feels any type of way against a black woman, and there's a black woman who's willing to be public or be like, you know, like exposed, and, you know, isn't mixed race or isn't light skin or something, like, let me tell you, misogyny and wild hatred of black women is fucking real. Look at how that black woman is treated versus, you know, quote unquote acceptable versions of black, being of blackness. Look at how shit, even someone like Whitney Houston is treated and like called a fucking crackhead and this and that, when like, bitch, she is fucking open the gate for I mean, Whitney fucking is music. Whitney Houston is music. there's not one singer that exists right now that even holds a candle to fucking Whitney Houston.
Period.
You know? And there are multiple singers who are of great range that know that. You know? Like, you, and women who are such greats that you can't even do like a versus, like situations like this. Jill Scott and Erykah Badu is just like so amazing, because like you would never be able to do a versus with like an Aretha, because people would love to see like Aretha obviously versus like Patti Bell, since they've always had like this feud. But like if you were to have like a Whitney versus like Mariah, like it would be all love, because that type of talent, it's not about who is better. It's just about the fucking excellence of it. Which is why, you know, I feel like, you know, again, segueing into another conversation about some recent cultural occurrences, is like this versus shit is like brilliant. It is brilliant. Best thing to come out of fucking COVID. This shit with the recent verses with Bounce and Beanie Man lit. Like Zagazow, I can't. I was so turnt listening to that shit, and it was just like bluh, 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 bluh. And just like people being so extra. I just loved it, lived for it, and I missed that shit when it was actually happening. I didn't even see it till like 10 hours later. But luckily there was just so many like people posting about it that I still felt like I was there. And obviously I could watch the YouTube. Yeah, so Azalea was running up and down through hosts. I'm sure this is not the last we'll see of her. And it's just interesting how one thing keeps opening a door to something else, to something else, to something else. So I'm just waiting for responses from Dave Chappelle, waiting for responses from Adrian Grenier, waiting for responses just from like all types of fucking nonsensical people. And yeah, I don't know. And then you know what, to close this and to circle back, like I said, I would. And to finish up, because I have other things to do and I've been rambling on for like better part of half an hour, over half an hour, 42 minutes now. To the latest situation with Amy Cooper in Central Park, where a white woman was threatening a black man with calling the police on him and telling the police that she was being attacked, which is attempted murder in my mind. You know, white people, I actually saw a white man post this, and I have to talk about it, and I'll probably post it in my story so I make sure like people see it and it's seen. A white person posted that I don't even know personally. I know him through a colleague, but this particular person is a very like senior ranking executive producer at like one of the biggest ad agencies like in the world. And this person said, this man posted something about the recent killing in Minneapolis, where a cop was literally had his knee on a black man's neck and he died right after. He said, I never really post social justice things like this, but this is, you know, getting ridiculous. Like this whole knee on the neck thing. What did he say? He said, I'm starting to believe cap or something like that, to that measure. And it's just like, listen to the language. Like, I'm starting to believe Cap. This knee on the neck thing is like getting ridiculous. And I just would like to say to white people who see these things as well and go by them, I hold you accountable. I hold you accountable. I hold you accountable. I hold all of you accountable. Your babies, your lineage, all of you, I'll hold you accountable. Because if you don't see something like that and get sick, then you're useless to me. And you are just a part of the problem. Because it's a joke. Like I said, you know, earlier in this episode, it's a joke to you. How could you possibly think that people are being dramatic? Because he said something about being dramatic. And, you know, like, how can you just now be tired? It is so disgusting to me. It's so disgusting. It's so disappointing. It's gross. And I don't feel bad about myself. I hope, you know what I mean? Like, don't you ever get it twisted that I am one of those black people that you need to feel sorry. Save that shit for yourself. You don't need to feel sorry for me because there's nothing to feel sorry for. I didn't create any of this shit. Y'all did this shit. Y'all withhold this system up. This system that exhausts all of us. Your silence holds it up. Your acceptance of it holds it up. Your disbelief holds it up. Your questioning, your constant questioning holds it up. Your lack of interest holds it up. Trying to rationalize it holds it up. So, and you think that it's just like our cross to bear, but it's not, because it is affecting. It's affecting all of us. It's affecting all of us because I feel like we are just experiencing like a mass depression. Like, people are so fucked up. I don't really think there's a lot of satisfaction out there. And how can there be? Like, there's nowhere to grow good things and good fruit. So much is tainted. So much is toxic. The air is toxic. The water is toxic. You know what I mean? actually in our lives, but emotionally and mentally too. The emotional air that we, you know, our emotional water from within and without is so tainted because people are so tainted. Deny whatever it is that you want, like this pain and this discomfort, this nausea that you see and you try to avoid, that you might just try to, you know, outright avoid, that you might try to, you know, excuse or whatever. It's gonna get you, man. It's gonna get you and it's gonna eat away with you, because I personally truly do believe in it, not just in karma or, you know, what people believe to be karma. I just believe that in just energetic balance, and that things don't go away. They stick with you. And the fact that generational trauma trauma in itself can be proven that it changes your DNA only adds to my belief of this, because I know it in my bones that this trauma that we're all experiencing is changing us. So your comfort that you may think you have now, who knows how it will manifest later, what sort of cancers it might bring into your life, what kind of dysfunction it may bring into your life. And like, you know, we sit and we ask ourselves, like, how these things happen in our body, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, most of us know that stress causes is led to, I think, about 85% of the known diseases in the world. So if you know that, and you know that stress causes this shit, you don't think that the stress that you're experiencing and your babies are experiencing will affect you? It will affect you. It does affect you. It is all of our problem. And as difficult as it can be to do this work every day, I really commend people who are active on social media, doing this work every day on social media and in real life, because I know there are so many incredible, incredible people, specifically women, because I know that's, you know, the majority of what I personally, you know, allow on my feeds and follow, doing this work and still living their lives and, like, raising babies and, you know, taking care of husbands and husbands taking care of them and, like, blah, 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 and, like, work. And I really commend people who are out there doing all types of this, like, unlearning and exposure work so that we can be better. Even if it's just little, but, you know, it's inch by inch, centimeter by centimeter. So, yeah, I think that is great to close. I probably will have to do another one because, like I said, messy is a maze. But thank you so much for tuning in. I still am not 100% about what I'm going to call this podcast. I think I'm going with the name Stay Velvet. I'm going to explain why in another episode, maybe. But thank you for tuning in, whoever you are. And hopefully I speak to you again soon. Bye.